looking at baptism, continuing our study in the ABCs of Christian maturity, looking at immersion and why we do it and what baptism does. When we look at and we're trying to answer the question, what does baptism make me? And I tell you what, let's go ahead and go there. It says, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. All right, now when we're looking at this, you know, what does baptism? Well, baptism does two different things. Baptism, number one, makes you a church member. Attending a Baptist church is wonderful. Attending, being there, you know, showing up on a Sunday, being there on Wednesday, being there for the special things, that's a lot of fun. But walking through the doors of a church does not make you a Baptist. You know, growing up, my family did not have a particular religion. But there are many people that grew up in a Baptist church. Well, I'm a Baptist, or I'm a this or a that, because mom and dad were a this or a that. That does not make you a Baptist. Family relationships do not make you a Baptist. Baptist baptism makes you a Baptist. Baptist practice makes you a Baptist. So when I am baptized into the church, that's what makes me a member. I've heard of this, and I don't know how popular it is nowadays among our kind of Baptists, where, you know what, we never voted, we never put them in the water, but I tell you what, they've been here for X amount of weeks, so we're just going to naturally put them into the role of the membership. That's not how that works, right? There's a proper process, and baptism is the proper process that is needed. Right? So as we see here, and we see the word Baptist or baptism, the word baptism or Baptist is found multiple times throughout the New Testament. Often we see the belief first, and then we see the baptism. Again, we looked at that last week, how they are two separate things, where first the salvation, then the baptism. It is a biblical word. Baptizo is the Greek word for it. Literally does mean immersion by definition. We see that Christ honored John the Baptist. We see that he, Christ himself participated in baptism, which again kind of leads us away from the idea that getting in the water washes away your sin, because why would Jesus need it? Why would Jesus participate in it, having no sin in and of himself? All the apostles received baptism. This was never repudiated. Acts chapter 1, verse 22. Acts 1, 22. Beginning from the baptism of John unto the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. So beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that was taken up from us, everybody who was there, everyone who had participated, they were baptized. There was nobody that got around this. When we get up, what we're saying here is that I believe that Jesus Christ came, died on the cross, was buried, and was resurrected. Right? It tells everybody around what we believe. Going back to Matthew chapter 3, as we would continue on reading, we would see where the Pharisees would come, and John would demand evidence of their belief, evidence of their salvation. You know, who warned you to come and do this? Depending on where we're reading in this, you know, who warned you? Hey, what, I need some kind of a fruit to show that you really have this belief, and you're not just doing it out of popularity. You'd be vastly surprised how many people get into the waters of some religion or the other because they want, I don't know, some kind of acceptance, some kind of notoriety, some kind of validation in getting in the waters. That's not what that is. What this is saying, this is what I believe. This is what I am. I am a saved child of God. And in that, that's what we do. That's what we're performing. We're performing this belief. When you would see people, when this started, when you would see people going down to do this, most folks, if they understood, they saw that, they said, this is a person who believes in the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Now, again, if they've never heard it preached, they might not understand what it is they're looking at. But once the rumor got to them, we'd clearly be able to see that this is the picture that we're showing. And again, it's important that baptism reflect that belief. If we ever try to make baptism anything else, again, the religion old problem of trying to take godly things and solving worldly problems with them, trying to solve, trying to make the Bible and God, or trying to make the Bible and man's philosophy work together, and then we try to solve the problems where they don't quite work. It's cold. We don't necessarily want to baptize when it's cold, right? So what do? Well, we sprinkle. Well, what about it's a baby? We've gotten our theology off. How do I do this with a baby? Well, number one, you shouldn't. But number two, you can't try to fix false doctrine by adding one or the other. We had the boys, I took them out yesterday and we were getting lunch and we got Lunchables. The boys wanted Lunchables. Now, when I was a kid, a Lunchable were the crackers, the cheese, and the meat. Now, some of you never had a Lunchable, that's fine. God's been good to you. But for us, when we were kids, the pinnacle of lunch was either you got taken to McDonald's on your way back from a doctor's appointment or a Lunchable, and yet crackers, meat, cheese, a Capri Sun or juice box, and a little tiny candy bar. Whew, you were having a good day. Well, I thought, you know what? We'll do that. We got there. They had full pizzas you could make, and they had a full sandwich you could make. I'm like, you guys are spoiled. Like, this is ridiculous. like this is all you got, and I got some old crackers. They were often soggy, but either way, I was like, all right, we'll do it. So we got the fancy Lunchables thing. We came home with them. Inside was a water bottle. I know, right? A water bottle and a little thing of Kool-Aid you could pour in there. Right? You pour that in and you shake it, and they had a good old time with it. Got all over the place. Right? Caspian decided he didn't want to wait. Dumped the powder all over the place. Quickly learned that he could go out. that was an amazing fun. Turned red all day. But now I'm sitting there thinking about that, poor Caspian, he dumps half the powder out, and he's trying to fix this. You know how he fixed this? He sat there. He tried to pull some of the powder together after licking some of it and putting it in. It's just getting the more he tried to fix it, the worse it got. And really, when we're trying to combine false religion with real religion or man's thought and religion, we're going to kind of come up with these messes. And you can't fix false religion by dumping more Christian flavor in there, right? More of that Kool-Aid flavor in there. And you can't fix it by dumping more man's religion in there. It just doesn't make it. It just doesn't work. So again, we have to sit there and say, well, you know, how do we baptize babies? Well, you don't. Biblically, you don't. Right? Well, what do I do when it's cold? Well, here's an idea. We would do something like that. Right? There are ways to do God's things His way. There's a way for us to maintain what God wants for us without having to compromise. The problem isn't that we compromise and we compromise wrong. The problem is that we compromised at all. We don't want to compromise. We've got enough brain power to be able to figure this stuff out. So we maintain the picture no matter what, the obstacle, right? And baptizing makes you a church member. Go to Acts chapter 2, verse 41. You should still be in the book of Acts, I think, but we're going to go to 2:41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. So pulling this apart, what did they receive? They received the word. To receive the word is what? Just to hear it? If I hear preaching, can I be baptized? No, there are many people who are going to hear the word and reject it. So hearing itself is not it. Hearing means to receive in this aspect, right? If I can sit there and I can say to one of my kids, stop doing this. Oh, the noise rattled the eardrums, but the brain didn't receive it, right? We've all been there with our kids. Hey, come here. And you know you spoke clear enough. You know that it was there, but no recognition took place. That's not hearing, right? Hearing is the reception of it. All right, so if I'm hearing the word, I'm receiving the word, right? I'm getting it. I'm taking it in. Again, we get the idea there of actually believing. I've heard it. I've accepted it. And to accept the word is salvation. To accept that Jesus Christ came, died on the cross for sinners, me being a sinner, if I repent and trust Jesus Christ as my Lord, I can be saved. So they that received it, what happened next? Were baptized. They were baptized. What did the baptizing do? Added unto them. Right? So we see the formula. They received the word. They were saved. They were baptized, and the baptism added onto them, added into their church membership, and through there they continued in Christian growth. That's the Great Commission, right? The teaching of the word, baptizing of people, the continuing edification or education of the church members. According to John 3, verse 3, the new birth is the doorway to eternal life. According to Acts 2:41 and 1 Corinthians 12:13, baptism, which follows salvation, is the doorway into the membership of a church or a body of believers. When you are baptized, you become a member of the church. As such, you enjoy the rights and privileges of membership, which include participation at the Lord's table, receiving pastoral care and guidance for your spiritual growth and service unto the Lord, participation in church business meetings, and opportunities to effectively serve the Lord through His church here. So let's take a second to pull some of these apart. Number one, we do not allow people who are not current in standing members participate in the Lord's Supper. We don't. Right? If I were to go down to Flat Rock, I could not go take the Lord's Supper there, even though the majority of the ones I've taken were there, right? Just because it's not like a Costco card. I can't go to the different branches and just swipe my card. No, my church membership belongs right here. That's why we're particular in it. So what that does is, all right, as a member of this church, I participate in that. We don't advertise that out there. I distinctly remember that Lutheran, I think it was a Lutheran church, back behind my old house in Southgate, that during COVID instituted the drive-through Lord's Supper. And you could just, again, it doesn't match the picture anymore. So as a church member, you are permitted, or that's your doorway into, okay, as a church, this is what we're doing. So there you go. Number two, receiving pastoral care and guidance for your spiritual growth and service unto the Lord. As your pastor, my focus is on your spiritual growth and your needs. Now, I tell you what, I'm not going to be perfect in that. I may not always have the words that you wish that I had. I'm not always going to be able to be there in the way that you wish that I was, but I'm here. My priority is you. While I will sit there and I'll give biblical advice to anybody who stops long enough to hear it, my priority is in the membership, right? If you call me at 2 a.m., if that phone's on, it's coming up to my ears, especially if I see that it's you, right? Other people, maybe not so much, but for you, yes. My brother calls at 2 a.m., he may or may not get me. You call at 2 a.m., you definitely will. Now, don't break my heart and say, hey, guess what? My goldfish just had babies. That can wait in the morning. Okay, but hey, Pastor, such and such has happened, and we're on the way to the hospital. It breaks my heart. Well, I don't want to bother you. This is my life. Right, you are not a 2 a.m. phone call that your hot water heater's gone out. Right, this is what I'm here for. This is why God put me on this planet. All right, and you couldn't wake Danielle up if you needed to, so don't worry about it. All right, between the four kids and taking care of me, when she's asleep. Right, she works hard. She's out. Don't worry about that. No, but my focus is here. Hey, Pastor. What do you think about this? Hey, Pastor, what verses do you have on that? What are your thoughts here? my priority is to the church members, right? So again, that puts you under, puts you into that family type care, where we have that camaraderie with each other. It's not just between the pastor. The notes here talk about me, but we also have that among each other. It brings you into the family there of the church. Now, we look at number three here in my notes, participation in church business meetings. Again, a lot of people don't quite understand why, for instance, I'll put a time limit on certain things, right? Well, somebody, they've missed church, and when I reach out to them, they're very standoffish, they're very upset with me, they say that they don't want to come back to the church. Why do I put a time limit on how long they can be gone before I have the, you can, we're thinking about bringing you up for a discipline conversation? One of the reasons, among many of them, is the business meeting portion of it. What we've seen oftentimes happen is as a church is different than a regular franchise type religion. In a franchise type religion, I come in, I drop my offering in the box, I give a little bit of extra, and I come in and I have a religious experience, right? People may not know or not whether or not I put money in there, but as a real church, we are all cohabitators or co-owners of this building. We are all co-owners of the decisions that are being made in the church. Well, if you're out, you're disgruntled, and there are issues, we have seen it before where people will only show up for the business meetings, wreak havoc in the business meetings, and nothing ever gets done. Again, of all the reasons why we address church discipline, that is towards the bottom, but it is a good one for us to remember. I can think of a church in particular where one of the members had passed away, and they had left a rather large inheritance to the church. And they had to decide what to do with, it was a business building, what to do with this business building. So they had a business meeting to talk about what to do with this building. And guess what? People who were members who were not properly disciplined came in, and guess what they had? Voting rights. And people who had not been members for the longest time, who had heard about it and wanted to come in and make decisions, guess what? They came back to talk about it. And you know what you had in that meeting? A hot mess. It was a dumpster fire. All right, people who were there who were telling me about it, like I'm just sitting there going, how do you survive that? How do you even possibly get to the end of that meeting? So again, it's to keep decisions leveled to the people who are here doing the work. Does that make sense? Right? If I haven't gone to church in 7 or 8 months, and again, we've got members who, for mobility reasons, haven't made it in. I'm not trying to make anybody who wasn't here this morning sweat. The purpose of that, if I haven't gone to church in 7 or 8 months because my heart's not right, not because my body's not right, but because my heart's not right, I'm in no business to come in here and start telling the people who turn the lights on and off over how we're going to pay our bills. It's none of my business to come in and tell the people who are putting the conference together how to run the conference. You understand? We've got to have the people who are here doing the things part of making the decision. And again, there's a heart issue that needs to be taken place. All right, so I mean, we've seen those Baptist churches that are afraid to trim it up, and they only hurt themselves later when it comes down to the doing the business of the church. Another thing that's become more prevalent is those people that are still on the rolls with voting rights when the church goes to dissolve due to non-attendance. There's nobody there. There's no tithes, and we're ready to dissolve the church. They come in to vote. Oh, no, I'm a member. So when we sell the building, we're trying to make money off of that. And it creates colossal legal issues later. Right? Again, we want to keep the business to the church members. And again, church membership is important for that in discussing the business. Right. Number four, opportunities to effectively serve the Lord through his church. Here, when we do something to serve the Lord, you are a direct reflection of your church. When I do things, it is a ministry of this church. There cannot be what we call a parachurch organization. There's a lot of them that I just the people buy into, and I'm not a big fan of them. They'll give their money to talk show hosts or things like that that proclaim to be a ministry outside of things. There was a preacher who got himself in trouble with the Southern Baptist Society, so he could no longer say that he was a member of this church or that society. He got in trouble with it for one of the stances that he took, and you would agree with him for the stance that he took, by the way, but it was just not very Southern Baptist convention of him. So he left, and of course he's preaching in another country, So he changed the name of what he's doing to not the name of the church he's working out of, but to His Name Ministries. He's got his name, first name, last name, Ministries. That's not the organization that we see there in the church, right? When people were working in the book of Acts, they were doing the work of their church. Everything they did was filtered through and benefited the congregation they were a member of, right? So it would be wrong for me to go out there and, well, we've got Home Baptist Church and there's Home Baptist Church things, and then over here's Matt Rowland Ministries. You understand? That's not a scriptural setup. The scriptural setup is everything done in and through the local New Testament Baptist Church. Right? We are not entities outside of it when it comes down to things. Now, why do we say that? Because kind of like something that Brother Charlie brought up this morning. You know, why do they do that? Money. Power. What was it? Prestige, I think was the word you used, which I like. Right? Prestige. Right? Well, it's Matt Rowland Ministries. We've got books. We've got outreach. We've got missionaries. We've got mission boards. We've got everything over at Matt Rowland. No. Why can't that be done through the church? Why can't we just take names off of it and let the name of the Lord be out there? That's what it is. We want to put our name on something. Right? Well, you know, if anything ever happens in the church, I want something. No. There's no falling back on things. Right? Everything I do is for the production and for the use of the Lord. There are people out there you think about our website for a second. Our website is a tremendous ministry. By the way, we're still racking in around 100 to 120 hits on that site a week. Now, to many that's not a lot. But for the sake of who's going there and who's watching those things, it's amazing. Do you know between Facebook and online, our number one, the country that views our stuff the most? It's the Philippines. It's the Philippines. Yeah. It shocked me. 75% of the people that link to our website from our Facebook are from the Philippines. Now, if you look at the website where it gives you the breakdown of everybody, China, the Philippines, a lot of it's here in America, obviously, because it's folks that we know. Would it be easy for us to do? For us to sit there and grab a hold of that, for me to get a hold of Brother Gordon, say, Brother Gordon, listen, this is what we're going to do. We're going to organize the website into a pay-to-play database, right? So for $5, $2, $3 a month, you get access to all of this content. And Brother, this is what we'll do. We'll give a third to me, a third to you, and we'll put a third in the church, right? And people will just get the subscription. You can put it on your debit or credit card. Won't even think about paying it. For those that don't like debit or credit cards, you can link that straight to your bank account. Or you can just give that money back to Brother Dennis. Put that in his hand. He'll check you. You're good for the month. Give you the passcode to it. You have access to it. And you know what we could do? Money. But that's not the purpose of any of those things. It's not. I go to Brother Gordon with that. He'd slap me in the face and he'd be right to do so. You understand? He would. You know, if anybody said, well, you know, we could make some money off of that, I'd smack them in the face and I'd be right to do it. You better back me up on that. That's not the purpose of it. The purpose of it is what? Ministry. To point others to Christ. Now, I've known good men of God who've written books and they sell them. And I'm okay with that. Why? Because you got to pay to do that. And I tell you what, we need more Baptist writers. But pure ministry, things done through within the church. When we do stuff, it ought to be through the church. It ought to be to benefit. So again, that puts us into the function of the church. It allows us to do the work of the church. I'm not down for people who leave a church, go off and start their own without church authority. I'm not okay with people who, well, you know, I go to church over here, but I've got my own. I met somebody like that. They go to church and then they have their own Bible study at their house on a Wednesday. And they're trying to get people from the church to come join their Bible study, and they've got their own thing. And hey, it's okay because we've got snacks and we've got this and we've got that. No, ministry is done through the church. Right? Now, who has the authority to baptize? Right? We talk about the authority. Who has permission to baptize? Well, there is we call it a Heinz 57 variety of baptisms in the religious world, and those baptisms are few and far between. But according to Ephesians 4:5, there is only one real baptism. So they can't all be right. Right? So if I go someplace and again they've got maybe like a water pistol, or they scoop it and they dump in the water, or we spritz them, or we run them through a sprinkler. That was a new non-denom way that I saw, as they set up a sprinkler system and you just ran through it, and that was the baptism. I tell you what, Lord, some people are going to have to answer for some things. The Lord's going to say some stuff about some stuff. But we see that there's one. And who has the right to do it? Well, churches do. I cannot go down to the Walmart, give someone the gospel. They make a profession of salvation. I drag them on down to the Flint River and dunk them. It's a church work. It's a church work. Right? We are a congregation. It is a church thing. We are bringing you into the membership. It is a membership deal. Somebody's brought this up to me, and they've said, well, nowhere in the Bible does it say that a church should vote on the membership. And then they'll bring up what we just brought up, that passage of scripture where 3,000 people were added on. And then they use this argument, are you honestly saying that they raised hands for 3,000 people, or one person, 3,000 people individually voted 3,000 different times? Like, do you really think that happened? Well, here's the thing. What we do know is that when the Lord gave the churches the authority to baptize, the authority lies within the church. And for us to make that decision, and again, we see Paul later saying we're to receive one. And this is talk about bringing somebody back in, but it worked to me. It's a good illustration to use for bringing somebody in the first time, not to doubtful disputations. You following me on this? So again, it is the church has the authority. I, as the pastor, cannot counteract the church and start putting people in the water that I think would be good. Right? It is within the church. So as the church has the authority, that is where we get the teaching that we vote. Again, it is not a popularity contest. We are voting whether or not we are granting baptism to that individual. All right? Does this person fit the mode for salvation? Is this what we believe to be scriptural? Then yes or no. It's not do we like the guy. It's not do they smell nice. It is none of those things. It is simply do we agree to perform a baptism for what we believe to be the proper candidate. If we do not believe this to be a proper candidate, then no. Again, I think the illustration I used last week is if one of our dear sweet kids come up and they say, hey, listen, I want to be baptized, and I ask them questions about salvation and they can't answer them, that's not a proper candidate. So we would sit there and say, Donick, we love you, we wish we could, but not right now. Right? I've got a little one right now. I have to often do that too. Buddy, you don't get it. Right? Okay. And off they trot. We're going to get that with adults too. Well, I want to be baptized in a Baptist church just like Meemaw. That's wonderful. But what do you believe about being a sinner? What do you believe about sin? What do you believe about Jesus Christ? Why did he have to come down and die? If they can't answer those simple questions, that's not real salvation. In real salvation, you know those things, right? Again, it is not a litmus test. It's not an intelligence test. You should be able to sit there and tell me what that looked like for you, right? Some of our members, you've brought forward their testimonies of how they were saved. And I sit there and I hear that. And if I hear, well, Jesus Christ came and he died on the cross for my sins, and I believe that he did that, and I believe that that I'm a sinner, and you know what? That makes me saved. Well, where's the sorry part? Where's the repentance part? Right? I'm not looking for an overflowing of emotion. I'm looking for there's a difference between the Lord showed me that I'm a sinner, and it breaks my heart that I'm a sinner, that I do things that hurt him, I do things that offend him. And I believe that Jesus, in all of his mercy, came and he died on the cross and took my sins on him. There's a difference between when it's personal and when it's rehearsed. And I'm looking for that personal edge. I'm looking for what that means to you. And if we don't have that, we don't have a baptism. Again, it is something that as a church, we decide on. Not whether or not they're going to heaven or hell. Not whether or not we like them or we don't like them. But whether or not we believe this is the proper candidate, and whether or not we're going to perform this action. Jesus himself walked 60 miles to go to somebody who had authority. Well, there's nobody around me who has authority. Then you need to get to somebody who has authority. I've seen this too, where there was a member of a good Baptist church. Their business offered them a colossal amount of money to relocate. Well, they relocated without even thinking of whether or not there'd be a church over there. Why? Because money. So they get in the car and they pack the family up and they go over there to get that money. And they go, oh, there's not a church. I guess I better start having Bible studies in my backyard. All right, well, I guess we might as well be a church now. We rent the building over here with all my new money, and we're going to have people in here. And out of nowhere altogether, we've started a church without authority. We've baptized without authority. No, these things happen within a church. We stay and we go where those things should be. Not to say that a church never grows, not to say that a church never grants authority, but there's a proper mode and a method, and Jesus respected it. The Son of God himself walking 60 miles to get that baptism, that should tell us the priority we should have on it. Right? Now, there are four requirements for baptism to be scriptural, and we touched on these, so I'm going to kind of go through them pretty fast. Number one, a saved candidate. We've got to have somebody who makes a profession of faith, and one that, again, doesn't have to be showy, doesn't have to be emotional, doesn't have to tug at my heartstrings, but you've got to be able to show, I am saved, right? And none of this, hey, but you know what, I think it's time, I've been fighting off baptism. Baptism is just one of those things I want to experience. Sorry. We're not here to sell experiences. Our job here is to add members or not have them. We also need submersion in water because, again, baptizo, immersion, that's what it means. We've got to have that. Otherwise, you don't have baptizo. You have whatever the Greek word for sprinkle is. You have whatever the Greek word for sprinkler is. You have whatever the Greek word for water pistol to the face is, right? We need the proper, it needs to be the proper thing. Right? It needs to be the symbolic representation. The symbolic representation of the up, the down, and the back up. It needs to fit that. It needs to fit that mold. Again, somebody made this joke, and I hope they were joking. And I think I might have made this joke once or twice of having like a dunk tank set up. Church members whip the ball at him. That's a joke, but that wouldn't fit the form and the function. Up, down, back up. It's got to fit that same representation, and it also has to come, as we just talked about, from scriptural authority, right? Brother Mike can't go down again to the Flint River and just start dunking people under and call it macaroni. It just doesn't work that way. All those desiring baptism should be presented before all those desiring baptism are to be presented before the church membership, and the church votes to receive them into membership upon their baptism. So yes, this is what we are going to do. The church receives members from other Baptist churches of like faith and order by way of a letter. And that's how y'all got stuck with me. You guys voted. We sent a letter down to Flat Rock. Flat Rock sent a letter back to us. That was good. When I went to school down in Cincinnati, to save a stamp, the guy who was in charge of the records, the clerk, put the letter in my hand. Take this up to your pastor. Thanks. All right. I gave it to him, and he about had a fit. He goes, "That's not the way that's supposed to go. You're not supposed to have that." but nonetheless, there it was. All right, so there's bringing them forward. We put them in the water. We vote on put them on the water. There's a letter of commendation. Also, we vote on that, too. You can't just show up with a letter from your former pastor, say, "Hey, I'm joining up." There's a mode to that. All right, and the church does not receive into membership those who have been baptized into some man-made religion. So we're not going to just sit there and, well, I was baptized into the First Church of the Refrigerator down off of Clio, and we don't do that. Another thing, and I've fought with this, and it's been a long time for me to kind of think about, is the accepting by statement. So let's say I'm a member of a church a good ways away, and that church folds, and there's no way for them to vote, and I'm too prideful to get back into the water. Right? Or maybe not pride. Maybe it's a physical thing, right? I don't want baptism again because whatever reason. To some, they would sit there and say, all right, well, we'll accept them.
without the baptism by statement of faith. I've heard a lot of pastors that I love go both sides on this. I currently wouldn't do it. Now, if you've got some scripture you want to take me to kind of clean me up on that, I'm welcome to hear it, but personally, I wouldn't take somebody on a statement of faith. I either need a letter or I need to put you in the water. That's just my opinion. And I wish I had more of that problem. I wish we were always in there going, adding people in. There are two places in every Baptist church where there's dust, and I wish there wasn't, in the baptism and in the aisle. We need to be able to be, again, a little bit more active in our faith. So let's pray. Heavenly Father,